Welcome to Foresight Friday Roundup, Foresight Health's podcast series for healthcare revolutionaries. Outcomes matter, customers count, and value rules. Hello again, everyone. This is Dave Berta, news editor at Foresight Health. It is Friday, June 3rd. Flowers are in, vegetables are in, school is out. Now what do we do? Well, one thing we can do is talk about how much doctors and nurses make. These are the same doctors and nurses who are suffering from burnout and leaving their jobs, like we talked about on last week's episode of the Roundup. So consider this podcast the follow-up to last week's show. Specifically, we're going to talk about a new report out from the Medical Group Management Association on physician compensation, and a new report out from nurse.com on nurse salaries. To comment on the reports and what they mean for the healthcare labor market are Dave Johnson, founder and CEO of Foresight Health, and Julie Murchison, partner at Transformation Capital. Hi, Dave. Hi, Julie. How are you guys doing this morning? Dave?
I'm marveling at the pictures of Queen Elizabeth waving to the massive and adoring crowds like she's screwing in a light bulb with an aging Prince Charles by her side. Britain celebrating the Queen's Platinum Jubilee, marking 70 years on the throne. 70 years. I'm pretty sure she could beat Prince Charles in a foot race. He looked pretty wobbly to me. Here's a fun fact. If QE2 is still on the throne in 5 years, they'll celebrate her Diamond Jubilee, 75 years on the throne. I'm counting on her to make that milestone. After all, diamonds are a girl's best friend.
It is quite the spectacle. Julie, how are you doing?
Well, it's becoming, for me personally, the tales of Where is Julie this week. So I'm in Chicago. I hate to tell you guys, don't kill me.
Oh.
I'm spending 26 hours at the O'Hare Hilton, and I got to tell you, it's super exciting. No mass here, by the way, people, no mass.
I note a hint of sarcasm in your response there. So we'll leave it at that. All right. Now, before we talk about physician compensation and nurse salaries, let's talk about how inflation is affecting you. Dave, in your life, where is inflation hitting you the hardest?
Well, Julie, I just got back from a trip to New York City for the first time in 2.5 years. I'm traveling too. I'm with you. And what I've been struck by are just the huge jump in the costs of Uber rides. The price of an Uber ride to and from our house to O'Hare Airport, which would drop you right there at the Hilton, has almost doubled from pre-pandemic levels. It's over $70 now. The increases just can't all be due to higher gas prices. In fact, the Uber prices are so high now that I've started taking taxi cabs again. That's really saying something.
Oh, that is.
that is saying something. Julie, how about you? What price increases in your life made you say, whoa, what's up?
Well, quite related for me, it really is gas, which I'm sure it is for a lot of people. And I was so proud and excited to live in a state that was below $5 a gallon. And we have just gone way over that now. And, you know, Costco, Safeway, all the greatest, you know, gas deals are now seemingly pretty expensive. So I'm not enjoying it.
Yeah, it's been over $5 here in Chicago for a few weeks now, I hear you. For me, it's the price of a frozen pizza.
Of course.
Of course it is. That's our default meal when no one in our house wants to cook, which is quite often. You know, on sale, you used to get 2 for $6. Now they're $5 a piece, not on sale. And I know it doesn't sound like a lot, but with 2 college-age boys at home, we go through a lot of frozen pizzas. That increase in price may matter a lot to doctors who eat frozen pizzas too. Based on this new report from the MGMA, the report said the median total compensation of surgical specialists rose 3.9% last year to $517,501. The median total compensation of non-surgical specialists rose 3.1% last year to $415,465. And the median total compensation of primary care physicians rose 2.1% last year to $286,525. Dave, what's your reaction to the MGMA's report? It doesn't sound like .com is keeping up with inflation. And how do you think these numbers will affect the market for physicians and for physician services?
Plus ça change, plus c'est la même chose. The more things change, the more they stay the same. When I was in college during the late 1970s, going to medical school was the ticket to the good life and the competition of fears. But honestly, for those people, love of money more than love of medicine was the driving motivation. Thinking back on those days, I didn't really like pre-med students very much. And even today, I don't think I'd let most of them touch me with a 10-foot pole. So despite all that's happened since the pandemic and the billions being invested in health tech and genetics, reading the MGMA's provider compensation report made me realize how desperate most doctors are to get back to their old way of doing things. Before I talk about wage increases for the different types of physicians, let's dig into WRVUs. That stands for Work Relative Value Units, and it is the guts of the MGMA report. It's what they use to measure and smooth physician compensation across specialties and geographies. Guess what? Just like in college, when it comes to medicine, it's still all about the money. RVUs tie to practice revenues, WRVU-based productivity measures tie to contributions of individual physicians to practice revenues. In a commentary at the end of the MGMA report titled, Are You Getting What You Pay For? Directed to Practice Managers, their eminent commentator, David Gann, distills the truth regarding physician compensation with this observation, quote, the doctors who are paid under a compensation plan that incentivizes production have a greater compensation than those on salary. Volume trumps value. More units obviously translate into more money, just like the college pre-meds I knew so long ago hoped for. Interestingly, according to Gann's, salaried models in physician-owned practices pay primary care physicians much more and specialists much less than hospital and health system-owned practices. What does this say about referral patterns? And what does it say about salary as a way of paying physicians the way the Mayo Clinic does? I think that we're going to see more and more of that in the future. So here's the upshot from the report. Physician treatment activity is returning to pre-pandemic levels and compensation is up a little bit. The fee-for-service medicine machine seems to be getting back on track and physicians are doing their part to keep the motor running. But let's not mistake the waves for the tide. Multiple forces are aligning to rein in wasteful acute and specialty care. Much of that waste translates into higher compensation for specialists. Those practicing wasteful fee-for-service medicine should not get too complacent. The marketplace is coming for you and your compensation will decrease. You're going to feel it in your pocketbook. On the other hand, those who eliminate waste by practicing value-based care delivery deserve greater compensation. And I think the marketplace is willing to pay it because at the end of the day, outcomes matter, customers count, and value rules.
Got it, Dave. Thanks. Yeah, my dad used to call that piecework in the trade. Right?
Yeah.
So thank you. Julie, any comments or questions for Dave?
Well, I'm a little bit removed from what you talked about, Dave, but I found something interesting that I read that 36% of physicians took on extra work to supplement their income, which is maybe consistent with what you said, with 19% doing other medical related work, 6% adding more hours to their primary job, and 6% accepting non-medical work. And I really wish I could see trend numbers on this. That would be interesting. What do you think this says about the profession's future direction?
Would you like fries with that burger? I shouldn't be so flip. There was another story this week that unionized physicians and residents at LA County's three hospitals have authorized their leaders to call a strike if they cannot negotiate a new contract. They've been working without a contract for quite some time. My guess is that most physicians seeking extra work are either younger and or working in vital lower paying primary care specialties. As I said earlier, we should compensate primary care physicians who practice value-based care much, much higher than we currently do. And it's unfortunate that physicians and other medical professions feel the need to unionize in pursuit of higher pay, better working conditions, and more resources for their patients. I personally believe that professionals shouldn't unionize, but that belief is predicated upon compensation and promotions, recognizing higher value contributors, and we're a long way from that in healthcare. So we won't get the desired value-based medicine we want until we eliminate the perverse economic incentives that fund the current models. And to do that, we truly need to practice patient and consumer-centric care. So again, I think, Julie, I'm back to the same place I was before regarding the extra work. I think most of those needing extra work, we should probably be paying more, not just because they need to get extra work, but because they're probably contributing more to the ongoing general health of the population. And those that are just practicing the surgical piecework, as Dave described, need to get paid less.
Interesting. Yeah, I think if I see my physician in Home Depot as a cashier, I'm going to have some concerns. We'll talk. Thanks, Dave. Now let's talk about this report on nurse salaries from nurse.com. Based on a survey of more than 2,500 nurses conducted in November and December of last year, the median RN salary rose 6.8% last year to $78,000. 25% of the nurses said they got a pay boost because of the pandemic, and 4% said they now work as traveling nurses, and 62% of those said they became traveling nurses last year to make more money. One disturbing finding from the survey, male RNs made 18% more than female RNs last year. The gap was $14,000, $90,000 versus $76,000. Julie, what's your reaction to the nurse.com report? What's the good and bad in the report, and how will these numbers affect the market for nurses moving forward?
So let's just dig in for a second on a couple of the important data points that you shared, Berta. First, this survey was between November 21 and December 21. So I can only imagine kind of how much more dramatic movement in these numbers has happened, just given the increase in costs that we're seeing. And on the male-female disparity number, the 2020 gap was roughly $7,300. The 2021 gap was $14,000. So that gap doubled. It's crazy. And the survey noted that 40% of the male RNs said that they always or most of the time attempt to negotiate their higher salary. But that 40% males is compared with 30% females who said the same thing. So we're just getting into the same cycle of how men and women manage their jobs and their careers. So take a step back. I was curious when I was looking at some of this news about where nurses are paid the most in the world. So I looked up the top 10 nurse salaries in the world, and Luxembourg is the only place that pays their nurses more than we do. So we're number two on the list, and Luxembourg isn't much farther ahead of us, although I will say it did seem like a materially different number. So I feel like we're in a place where we're going to start importing nurses in a much bigger way than we even have been in the last 20 years. So we're already paying our nurses high, but then when you compare to the numbers that we just talked about for physicians, it seems like nothing. And I was interested in this concept of how much pay matters. And it's not surprising to see in some of these numbers that we're experiencing the same kind of aging, you know, nature of movement among different age nurses. You know, those who are younger are moving to new opportunities with new employers, and mostly, you know, the traveling nurse models or new boutique models. The younger nurses, like 23% millennials I read, are actively looking to make a switch compared to 17% of overall nurses. And for the Gen Z, so this is 24 and younger, 73% are open to new opportunities, mostly due to work-life balance and wanting to support their mental health to alleviate the burnout, much more so than pay, actually. And they actually just want to work in a place with better interactions and nicer, better to work with colleagues. So we're seeing some of the same trends that I think, you know, corporate employers are seeing. On the bright side, though, I'll say for all these systems I talked to who are super concerned about letting people go and upskilling and all that, the survey found that 46% of nurses plan to take advantage of training programs as a way to increase their salary, potentially move up the ladder. And 34% intend to pursue new degrees that are offered as part of these training programs. And these are mostly like vocational nurses, you know, licensed practical nurses, but this is upskilling at work, and this is a great trend to see. So I appreciate it. And, you know, at the end of the day, a nurse.com exec talked about this report as being a great roadmap, both for nurses to understand how to comport themselves in this new, much more competitive environment, and for health systems to really understand the disparities that are going on.
Interesting factoid on Luxembourg. We're number two. We've got to try harder.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Julie. Dave, any comments or questions for Julie?
I'm glad to see the jump in nurse compensation just generally. I think they contribute enormously to better care, better interaction with patients when given the opportunity to do so. And compensation is a big part of that. So, Julie, I'm wondering if there could potentially be a silver lining in these higher compensation numbers for nurses. Economics do have a way of forcing companies to face inconvenient truths. So if they're going to have to pay more for nurses, could this incentivize providers to allow more nurses to practice more often at the top of license and in the process displace physicians currently doing tasks that nurses could be doing? I got to believe some of the new models in the marketplace are going to push that.
Well, first, for providers to really be able to utilize the talent that they have appropriately, they'd have to start staffing on a planned basis that's not planned on the last 3 to 6 months of rolling census. And that's sort of where we are right now across most providers, not all. And when you staff like that, you can't possibly put together the right care team. So if into a more assertive or aggressive posture around the type of business that health systems want to be, yes, Dave, I think your nirvana could happen. But there's a lot of operational work to be done, I think, to really make that reality happen.
Thanks, Julie. We're obviously throwing money at a problem, and that's the shortage of physicians and nurses. But, you know, as we've talked about before, that's only a short-term fix. We need the fundamental and the foundational changes that you've both described. Great discussion. Now let's briefly talk about other news that happened this past week. Julie, did anything else happen this week that caught your attention?
You know, I was struck by a picture I saw of the body of the man who has the first monkeypox case in Southern California. And while I haven't been finding the monkeypox hysteria very enticing as something to be concerned about, the pictures are quite something. So here we go again.
Yeah, kind of scary. Thanks, Julie. Dave, what else blipped on your healthcare radar this week?
We witnessed a biotech first this week. Surgeons transplanted a human ear produced on a 3D printer manufactured with the patient's own cells. Wow. And this patient, a 20-year-old woman who had a deformed ear, now has a perfectly good-looking ear made from her own cells. Imagine in the not-too-distant future when medicine is able to do exactly the same thing for hearts, kidneys, and other organs. Brave new world.
Fascinating.
Was this the full ear, like the inside? And
yes.
Oh, wow. Amazing.
Now, I did see a picture of the ear, and it really is incredible. So a lot of things happening out there that really are reshaping the future of medicine. So that's great. Thanks, Dave. And thank you, Julie. That is all the time we have for today. If you'd like to learn more about the topics we discussed on today's show, please visit our website at foresighthealth.com. If you follow our show on Apple Podcasts or your favorite streaming service, you'll get notified each time a new episode is available. And don't forget to tell a friend about Foresight Friday Roundup. Subscribe now and don't miss another segment of the best 20 minutes in healthcare. Thanks for listening. I'm Dave Burda for Foresight Health.